This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Dame Products and Green Chef.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Drop the intro, though. Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, who was almost really back from vacation, and whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, black, pansexual, polyamorous femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here, and my pronouns are she and they.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, who is a demi-omnisexual who just started popping pussy and remembered how to suck dick.
Woo! Okay. One time for the one time. Two times for the two times. Okay. All right. After a few weeks off, we are still very much in vacation mode, but we're back this week giving you part two of a very special Ask Us Anything / summer update episode. Usually, every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. But on today's episode, just like last week, we are answering some of your burning questions about IHU. We'll be answering questions like, how do we maintain boundaries with listeners? Is hot human summer ending for IHU? Talk about some behind the scenes podcast stuff. We will answer the question of who was that white boy, and we'll continue with updates about our summer, all that and more coming up. But first,
did you know that people with vulvas are four times more likely than those without to say sex is not all pleasurable in the past year? We here at Inner Hoe Uprising are huge advocates for pleasure and find this pleasure gap pretty whack. But do you know what we don't find whack? Dame Products. Dame Products is a woman-owned sex toy company making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators. Founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz, Dame developed toys with the help of real humans and couples like y'all. They are closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. Their vibrators and accessories are made with medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. Whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters or on a journey of self-exploration, we're sure they'll earn a spot on your nightstand. And the best part, Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. But trust me when I say there is no return needed. As a girl who does not like to return nothing, I am here to tell you that you don't have to return your Dame products. So I have been using the Eva 2 by Dame, and I got it right here. It's not my nightstand, but it's always close by. You never know. But I have it right here. It has these wings that you literally tuck into your labia and it just sits there. When I say it's the best all around clitoral stimulation, personal note, fun fact you'll learn about Akua in this podcast, direct clitoral stimulation can be a little too intense, but stimulation of my clitoral legs all around my labia and up the hoo-ha is the best. So this, it does it, it's gonna do it. But even to an eye, mott. And then because when you fold it, the wings in, it stays in place. It allows me to do penetration with a glass toy. We have fun. Okay. Mm. And it's pink. I love it. I'm sorry. So if y'all want to have as much fun as I've been having, you can go to dameproducts.com/IHU today for 15% off site-wide. Again, that is dameproducts.com/I-as-in-inner-H-as-in-hoe-U-as-in-uprising. Go today for 15% off site-wide. Get your Eva 2 and the palm.
Mm. Hey.
Get it?
Palm is my shit. Yeah, All right. Okay. Let's get into the episode with our first batch of Ask Us Anything questions. So the first question is from Marielle. And Marielle asks, I've always wanted to know more about the production side, like the process of booking guests, sponsors, scheduling, balancing IHU with personal life.
I think the process has definitely changed from the beginning to now. Oh, man. We've been through so many changes. That's wild.
A lot of iterations of this here podcast.
In the beginning, before we were even like home, obviously things have changed in terms of where we record. So before it was booking the studio and then getting there and, you know, splitting the funds to do that. And then after a while, it became like we had a consistent studio. Then we got another consistent studio and then we got another one. and then we started recording at Sam's house. And now we're all recording at our own house. And, you know. Yeah. We got microphones and all that type of stuff. So we all kind of have our own MIDI setup. In terms of like the production side, now it's when it's our episode, we have a meeting together beforehand with Sam and we just kind of like spitball ideas and then we really hone in on it and go, all right, what do we want to do? What do we want to discuss? And then by the time we're done, we have a whole document with all of the things that we're going to discuss and how we're going to discuss it and in what order. And then we usually do our own research, put it in there, and then we have an episode at the end of the day.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think before we were more, when it wasn't the group episodes, it was always interview episodes for like one-on-ones.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of like finding a guest, booking a guest. And now it's more so like, okay, if a guest comes or if we have a guest that we really want, we'll like set it as a future goal, like a forward into the future goal, as opposed to like, we have to find a guest for this week, which was pretty tiring. Akua was the person.
Akua was. Yes. Flashback. I saw it.
Yeah. And there were like, there were really good episodes, but there were guests who were just like, or people who didn't make it to be guests who were kind of just like given the runaround and like very like flaky and stuff like that. And that shit is just like not conducive for something that's very sustainable. So, yeah.
I do want to say that the production side of things are very organized, or as organized as we can get it. And that is because of the organizing master that is Sam. She is the mitochondria of Inner Whole Uprising. Yes. Okay. She is the powerhouse. Yes, a powerhouse of this cell. I've never seen someone, and I don't think other podcasts does this, but everything is like written. Everything has a space, a file, a folder, a name.
It got
headings and captions and all of it. Like,
yeah, it's pretty fucking ridiculous.
And it was getting into that and realizing like, oh, it doesn't have to be a free for all. It can actually be, you know, organized, has also helped with all the other tasks that we put that we take on as part of producing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That is a habit I picked up being an editor and it's carried me into my whole life.
In terms of balancing Inner Whole Uprising with our personal life, and I think that that's a different answer that Sam will give because she takes on a lot of the labor. But for me, I prioritize knowing that we record on the weekends. We have a set time to record for the most part. It deviates depending on our individual schedules, but I know like the weekends are to record. I don't plan anything for my weekends until IHU is set up. It's like, if I know I'm recording by the group or solo, I'm like, I got to figure that out first. And then I can make the plans around it. And I prioritize it that way. And that works for me. And if something comes up that's like, oh, I really want to do it, I just like, all right, guys. So like next week, what are we thinking? Because I want to plan X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it comes together in that way. Also, in creating a hotation, it's known beforehand. Like, it's not a surprise that it's my week. So if I'm planning a vacation, I can literally plan it around that. You know, typically my vacations are with Sam, so we just be like, fuck it. But like, you know, if there's anything that I want to do, I can, you know, plan it around that, knowing like this is, I don't know, not inevitable, but like, give me words,
constant,
y'all. Not constant, but like, I know it's upcoming. I know it's going to be there. So it's like, all right, I can navigate around it. And it's not a hindrance for me at all.
I would definitely say for IHU, the calendar is king. That is something where we live and die by the calendar. And It has made me more calendar oriented in every part of my life, because it's just like, I can never be surprised because it's there. And it's just like, I think at one point in time, I was so taken aback because I was like, oh shit, it's the wrong email. It's my fault. So it's just like, it'll throw you off the rails, because that is our like bread and butter, the calendar. So definitely organization is what Sam does best. And it has definitely held up our podcast through a lot of changes, for sure.
Like, I'll be planning a date and I'll be like, hold on, I gotta check my calendar and go to the IHU calendar and then go to my personal one. Like, yeah, I'm free. Yeah. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When it comes to my personal life as well, since it is like I'm on every episode and every weekend we are recording something, I don't make plans until we figured out what it's going to be for that weekend or whatever. Similarly, like, I reserve a last season it was my Tuesdays were edit days, so like I would schedule work around that. Now this season I'm bringing it to Mondays or whatever, so I'll like schedule that around that. And then just in terms of like balancing it all in life, yes, I'm a very calendar oriented person, and I like had to take a time management course last year, I think it was, to actually like get my shit together, to really like not be overwhelmed with stuff, especially like this podcast, because I think like when you're doing something that is not your bread and butter, it's very easy to just like, oh, I can fit it into here, fit it into here. And then all of a sudden you don't create personal time for yourself. Mm-hmm. So like now I have it like very sectioned off and stuff like that. So yeah, thank you for the question. Question two, have y'all ever considered creating content outside of the podcast format under the IHU brand? And this is also from Marielle. I have an answer to that, but if anybody else,
I feel like we've discussed it. We definitely wanted to do like a travel thing at one point in time, or
yeah, we did, and it was supposed to be sponsored by somebody who fucking sucks. Anyway,
whatever. Yeah, we're definitely supposed to do that. And then like I've always taken interest in just like doing reviews, which is like I think we've kind of done that and like started bringing it over here and doing all that type of stuff to just see what we're personally interested in and adding it onto. Technically, it is still on the podcast, but like I definitely think videos and just doing other things under the IHU umbrella has been something we've floated around a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally would be very interested in doing video essays, where it's like something about, oh, okay. So a video essay, I'm assuming you're like that because you don't know.
Yeah. It's cool.
I was like, oh, I thought you knew because you're such a YouTube person. I'm sure you've seen that.
I think I probably know what it is. I just don't know it by the name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like really like an essay, but in video format, where you have like a thesis that you're trying to make and you demonstrate it with different media and narration and stuff like that.
Ooh.
That's nice.
So I think that would, like, so many of the episodes that we do or the subject matter that we have, I think, lends itself to deeper dives and video essays in the first place. And what I like about video essays, because I've, like, made a few for, like, work and stuff, is, like, you can spend more time on it as opposed to just, like, oh, we're doing this episode in a week. And I think sometimes things warrant more time than what we can give because of the nature of podcasting. Mm-hmm. Also, I like video. Like, that's where I, like, cut my teeth in media, so I do kind of miss it. So
I would like that.
Okay.
Like, is it, and I think it's, yeah, I think I know what it is through sight, and I'm trying to connect the two, but it's like, when is it kind of like what Rodeca was talking about in our Patreon hangout about the immune system, learning about the immune system? Like there's a topic.
Yeah, they're just talking about the whole topic, and then they give you like a video. Yeah. It's, that's why when you said, I was like, that's pretty much every YouTube video
I've ever watched now. Yeah.
Okay. I would love to do that. I've always wanted to dive into the DSM and sexual disorders, and it's always something that I wanted to bring on the podcast as a segment or something. I know I floated around like a sex product review video thing that I still like to do in this office that got boxes in the back. So yeah, we definitely have talked about that, and it's really about executing and finding the time to curate and develop.
And let us know what you all as listeners want. Like, we do have this podcast on YouTube, but it's not typical YouTube content. It's just a YouTube version of us just talking.
Yeah.
So we don't really have like a standard YouTube channel, but if that's something that people are interested in, I don't know, that's something that we can talk about. Because I just think that the expectation is different. Like, I follow a lot of YouTubers who like make a video once a month, but it's a really fucking well put together video. But with podcasts, it's just like,
yeah,
bitch, where's that though? Mm-hmm. But it's like sometimes the shit that we're talking about is not where it's at though, type content.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. Next question from Joey this time. How do you react to being known? It's kind of funny phrasing. Like, are you perceived?
I do not like exactly.
How do you react to being known? Do you set boundaries with fans, and has it been hard?
Yeah. I react with suspicion. I react
to being known.
How do you know me? Oh, yes, I do a podcast. Okay. I don't know y'all. And I forget that I do this. I forget that Sam puts this on the interwebs and it's not just in files in her closet. So do I not always react with suspicion? Like, who is this person?
Yeah.
And then I'm always excited. I'm like, oh, yay. Hi, how are you? It's weird each and every time that someone is surprised and happy to meet me because they go to
because me, like,
right?
Me?
Woo!
You saw me. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's always a shell shock, and I try to set boundaries with fans, but I have dated fans before. As soon as I saw the question, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I think the first thing that I do though, in terms of setting boundaries, is like, I will have the conversation. I was like, I know you listen to a lot of things, and I know technically you know a lot of things about me, but you don't know me. Like, that's like, at the end of the day, there's no way that you could know me from just like the stories that I tell. And the good thing is a lot, I say a lot of the time, it's been a couple people. So the people are very much like, I know I don't know you. Like, I want to get to know. It's always funny because it's like, I want to get to know Rebecca, not Rodecca, which is the classic line. Like, the classic
That's so
line.
Funny.
I'm like, so funny. I can do that. So it's very funny. I was like, yeah. So, and I don't know. I feel like in my head, I don't want to disappoint people because you have this like conjured up image of who I am as a person. And I'm really just like, I feel like I'm authentic, but at the same time, I'm not. You're on a podcast talking for an hour straight. I'm not always talking for an hour straight. I'm not always doing stuff like that. Sometimes I'm just chilling. Sometimes I'm like not. I'm just listening. I'm really big on listening to people and just like, you will have to talk. It's not going to be me. So it's just really just not trying to live up to a persona that people might have of me and very much like, all right, well, yes, this is how you met me, but. Well, we don't even have to talk about the podcast. We don't. Please. It's just like, I don't know. People have asked about y'all, like, you know, like, how are they doing? And I'm just like, you can ask them yourself because this is kind of weird.
Don't ask me. Don't talk to me.
But yeah, I don't think it's been hard. I think I'm always 100% grateful and so taken aback and so happy when anybody even comes up to me and says anything like, oh my God, like I listened to your show. Oh my God. Anything like that. That's not hard for me. That's just like amazing. It's always amazing. It's just like, thank you for like acknowledging my existence, but also you can go back to pretending like I don't exist because it would make me feel a lot better. But yeah, I'm always grateful for any person who's a listener that speaks to me and says that they resonate with anything that I say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't take that for granted at all.
I get an absolute kick out of being known, and I don't really know what the fuck my life is going to look like after it. Like, we gotta keep continuing this fucking Z-list celebrity train. Like, before this podcast, I would do YouTube videos, and it didn't have like a big following or anything like that, but there were still people like in college like, oh, I don't know you, but I watch your videos and stuff like that. So like, I never want this energy to end. I always want the bullshit that I have to say to reach someone outside of my personal network. Like, that's very cool to me, and I really enjoy it. It doesn't, like, shock me or anything like that, especially living in New York City and spending most of my time in New York City and knowing that, like, we have a large or, like, a substantial listener base in New York City, specifically in, like, queer spaces and stuff. So, like, there have often been times where, like, I'm talking to somebody on a dating app and it's like, oh, I know you from this. And it's like, okay, well, now we can't talk. But I'm not like, oh, shit, how did you know? Because it's like, that's exactly, like, the spaces that I'm frequenting are the same spaces that, like, is the fucking audience to the podcast. What was the other thing?
How do you set boundaries?
Oh, it was just, do you set boundaries with fans? Why are you laughing?
Because I know your shit is like, I'm never dating any of you, motherfuckers.
Okay, so the question is, do you set boundaries with fans? Absolutely, yes. I have dated some people in the past. Well, I dated, I went on a couple of dates with one person. He absolutely got on my fucking nerves. And some other people have, like, hit me up to, like start something romantic. And I feel like I have a very opposite experience than you have. To me, it's like never like, oh, I want to get to know you. It's always like, oh, you're obviously like this, or I know so much about you because of this, or it doesn't seem like you would do this. And it's all just like from the podcast persona. Yeah. And that's very, very, that's like deeply annoying to me. Also, I just think it's a bad practice. I think it's bad You're practice. Right. I think like the power dynamics are weird and stuff like that. So it's just like not something that I personally want to do anymore. Has it been hard? No. And I think the way that I specifically set boundaries is like most of the interactions that we get, like this is a social media world, are on social media. And when I think somebody is just like overstepping, I just won't answer them. Mm-hmm. And if it gets to the point, like I'll just block people. Question number three is once again from Mariel. Question number four is once again from Mariel. And Mariel asks, have y'all ever considered living outside of New York City? If so, what's your ideal environment?
For sure. Mm-hmm. I think during the time that I was a flight attendant, it was a time that I was considering it the most because I was seeing so many different places in like such a short amount of time. I have wanted to live overseas. I've wanted to live in Atlanta, because everyone seems to be going to Atlanta. So I'm just like, maybe there's just something there that I'm not seeing, you know? I've thought, like, my family lives in Florida. I have so many people in so many different places that I have considered living in a lot of different places, but it's always back to New York City for me for some reason, except for the fact that it's so expensive. I think that's the hardest part. Like, if I wanted to, like, really get a house or do certain things, I always think I can't do that in New York. I can't do that in New York with the way that things are going for me. Mm-hmm. But it's just like this cultural epicenter, and it's like such a diverse bubble that you, like, other places are really trying to imitate New York in a lot of ways. And to be from here and to have like that in my blood where I'm like, it's not really foreign. And it's not me trying to catch up. It's me already knowing how New York works. And I'm just like, it's in me. It's home. So for me, it's very difficult to think about leaving New York anytime soon. I feel like maybe if I were retiring and I was just like looking for a slower pace, because we do live at a pace that is so wholly different than most other places. Like, we are, that New York minute thing is like no joke. We are, you know, I'm getting coffee, and I was in Atlanta recently getting coffee, and it was just like, oh, let me pour this for you, and going slow, and I'm like itching. Oh, actually, the perfect example is when we went to Asheville. Asheville lives on a completely different timing than we were all used to. We got to the airport and we were like, oh, nah, like, is this something in our blood that just, it doesn't work. This can't work. What are y'all doing? It's so slow. But like, I feel like eventually I would want to be able to live a life where I could, you know, go to a grocery store and spend 3 hours there just perusing the fruits. I don't know. Maybe that'll be an older me. But right now, I definitely just can't imagine really living anywhere, because I feel like I want to live out a lot of fun times. And there's so many things I haven't even seen in New York, having been here for as long as I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to stay in New York because my family is here. Like, I really appreciate the, like what you said. I really appreciate Queens, because I feel like it is, well, not feel like, it literally is the most diverse place in the world. And one of my values as a person is valuing the differences in like the human experience. And if there's anywhere in the world you can get that, it's literally here.
Yeah.
And in some places you can park your car and all that kind of like stuff. So like, I really, really value Queens, and my family is here. But if I were to leave, which I think about very often, because I don't say this as a joke, I do feel like America is heading towards like hell in a handbasket, I would definitely consider going to a country that has like universal health care and stuff like that, and trying my hand at fucking becoming a citizen over there or something. So yeah,
I always think about moving out of New York. My only requirement is someplace warmer or with more, I want to say, steadier and predictable weather than New York. Because as I melt in 105 degree weather yesterday, I know that in a couple of months, it will be negative 15 and my bones will be cold, and I'll be sad either way. And I don't want that anymore. But then, of course, global warming, climate change is a thing. So will there ever be a place with consistent warm weather?
Not anymore, bucko.
I've thought of living down south. I've thought of living like Texas or New Orleans or Maryland, or not really Florida. Florida seems like a great place. I've even thought of places in Europe where I have family, or even going back to Ghana and living there. I don't know. I don't know where the world will take me. I know a big fact is that I want Dave. It's a thing I want to do on my own. I don't want to drag Dave through the process of readjusting to another place. So a lot of that I fantasize about, like him being 18 and in college and I could go. So we'll see that. We'll see.
Where will the world take Akua? Carmen Samdekua. Okay. This next question is specifically for me. When do you visit Germany? And I will. Me too. When do you visit Germany?
Whenever you going, let's go.
Okay. I'm gonna try this in German. Ich möchte am Deutschland nächste Jahr reisen. Hey, cool. I would like to visit Germany in the next year.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to need a translation. Okay.
Well, y'all just went, yeah.
Yeah.
We support you.
Danke. All right. No, I actually do think Germany is pretty fucking cool, to be honest. And if it's not cool, I don't need you to write it. Because America's also not cool in all of the same ways. Thank you. All right. So up next, is hot human summer beginning or ending for IHU? Plus, who was the white boy? But first, who up in here loves to eat but hates to go grocery shopping, hates to do the pre-planning that comes along with preparing a delicious meal, and hates spending a lot of money on takeout? Many of you, I'm sure, including myself and my other co-hosts. Luckily for both y'all and us, there is Green Chef. Green Chef takes care of meal planning, grocery shopping, and even some food prep, giving you more time to enjoy a jam-packed end of summer that I'm sure you all are having. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, so premium ingredients like organic veggies and high-quality proteins are a given. Eating well is easier than ever with satisfying home-cooked dinners and options that work around your lifestyle, not the other way around. Green Chef's expert chefs design flavorful meals that go way beyond ordinary, no matter what's on your menu. So I'm a big fan of Green Chef, and my favorite part of it is the ease and convenience of cooking pretty much gourmet meals all at a super low cost per plate. I love to both try and cook new foods, and I really appreciate that Green Chef allows me to do that without all of the hassle. And great news, you can also use Green Chef and you can get a discount while you're at it. So you can go to greenchef.com/IHU100 and use the code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. That's right, go to greenchef.com/IHU100 and use the code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Now let's get back to the show. All right, so our next question in this set is from Melaho. Shout out to Melaho. Is hot human summer beginning or ending for IHU?
It's always hot human summer for me.
Oh, even in the winter?
Even in the winter. It's just a different type. You know, we hot inside. That's all. We got the heaters on. Because I really feel like, you know, this was supposed to be the we outside summer, but then I got scared a lot of the time because I was just like, y'all are really gathering and like, in droves. And I don't know how I feel about that many people being together at once. So I definitely had some hesitations more than I thought I would. And I didn't get to do a lot of the things that I wanted to because I was like dealing with shit. So I'm like, nah. We're just going to keep it ongoing and not even have like that summer solstice shit. That's not even marking the end.
With this nigga climate change, you know, summer ends actually, in November.
It's not going to be cold in January.
It's going to be warm anyway. So yeah. I didn't go to the pool once. Summer. Yeah, nah, it's a lot. Yeah, I think I went to the beach only once. So there's a lot of things I still want to do. So I would say that it's beginning and continuing and ongoing for sure.
Cool.
Definitely feel like it's beginning for me as well. When I sit back and think about the fact that we're in August and I'm like, it's not June. Are you sure? Lets you know that I'm in the mind space of where summer just started. I guess it will end when it ends.
For me, summer always ends like mid-September anyways, because there's just like other late August activities that I want to do and shit like that. So, but yeah, when it's over, I'm quite ready to just sit and be away from y'all niggas. I've been neglecting my drum set. Like, I haven't played drums all summer.
Oh,
like,
no.
I want to do that. I want to, like, get back into my reading and stuff like that. I've had enough fun.
It's okay. You're like, I'm actually good.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go back.
Yeah. Who was... We got a question from who is Billie Jean? Who was the white boy? So I took a picture on my Instagram when I was in Colombia, and there was like one picture of me looking very cute, and there was another picture of me looking very cute with a white man kissing my cheek.
Yes.
And that white man was... Nobody of note. Nobody of note.
That's it. I sat here with bated breath like,
oh no.
Nobody of note. He was cute though.
He was.
Hey.
He was.
Yeah.
It'd be like that.
Columbia was fun. All right. Next question from Corey. If you had to equate yourself as a person to breakfast cereal, what cereal would it be and why?
Damn. Mine was going to be Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay. Ooh, that's a good selection.
Kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say stable. That's not what I would describe cereal as. I would say, kind of consistent all the way through. You get what you get. Good for your heart.
What the fuck is going on?
I just love Honey Nut Cheerios, and I think that they're very, like, known to be a very sweet, like, not sweet, kind of sweet, but very healthy for you and good for you and just, like, consistent, you know? That's me as a person.
Okay. I would say that, because this is debated, right, because it's not fucking, like, well, some people like it sweet. I think most people like it savory. I'm going to call myself Grits because I got a lot of fucking substance on me. I don't think I'm a very sweet person, but I'm nice and I will do good for you.
I love the way you said that too, but I'm nice, nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like I'm kind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely not sweet. And I like shrimp, just like a good bowl of Grits does too. So
I would say I was oatmeal.
Nice.
And that it comes in different variations, not just like flavors and instant or like cooked, but like even when you go through the diaspora, the different ways people make porridge and out of oatmeal is also lovely. I stick to the ribs. I stick on you.
Aww.
I want to be in your skin. Ask Rodeca in North Carolina. I just lived in her body. At all times. So, it sticks to you. And I'm good. You know, I lower your cholesterol and whatnot. I'm good for your health.
There you go. Me, baby.
I like it. I'm a fan. All right. Next question. Favorite foods from Honey Bunches of Nose?
I love eggs. I love eggs. I love eggs. I love toast. I like bread and butter in any variation. You can toast it. It's untoasted. You can French toast it. I'll eat it.
We definitely got to bring you to Germany, bitch.
Uh-huh.
Love bread.
And tacos. I can eat tacos.
Good choice.
All day, every day.
Good choice.
Any flavor, any kind. It's me.
Very good selection. Rodeca.
Pasta. I love pasta of any kind. Chicken Parmesan specifically. I really, really love chicken Parmesan. And meat. Red meat. Steak. My favorite place on earth is Fogo de Chão. I say it all the time. I love it because they bring out meats by the swordful, and they're just walking around and they're slicing it around. And you will find me at a Brazilian steakhouse living my best life. And that is my happy place. So yes, red meat and just lamb, duck, all that. I love it. Yeah.
I dig it. I too love meat. I love all foods, so this question is always very hard for me. Like, there's not much that I won't eat, but like I go through like phases or whatever. So now, like, any time of the day, if you offer me a bowl of poke, I'm gonna fucking eat it. Oof. Like, I eat poke way too much because I like can't make it myself, so I'd be ordering poke way too much
with a little seaweed salad on it. Oh my god,
it's so good. It's so goddamn good. You would not be surprised to know that another one of my favorite foods is sushi. And then I round out the top three with ramen. Ooh. I really enjoy ramen. Yeah, but yeah, I love all foods. I've recently been breaking up with pork a little bit because it's just like I eat it too much. I can't eat it that much. It's like more of like two times a month kind of thing. It's not like once a week kind of thing. But I do really love pork and beef. Yeah, shout out to the meats that are not great for you.
shout out to the but taste so good.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. I also love vegetables just as much. I really am a savory person through and through.
Yes, 100%.
All right. From Brit, before we get into our summer updates, I would like to know what y'all's favorite scents / brands for incense and candles and stuff are. So mine is Goop. It's Goop by Gwyneth Paltrow. It is the My Pussy Smells Like Candle, nigga. Surprise, surprise. Oh, she didn't know, given how I was chatting last season, but I copped a couple. And yeah. My bedroom smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy, niggas. No, just kidding. Rebecca, you were going to have an actual answer.
I do. It's Satya, which is Satya. It is a very specific incense that is just called Super Hit. I don't know what that smell is, like in terms of like a profile, but if you go on Amazon and you see a black box that says Satya Super Hit, it is the best smelling incense. It's the only one I buy. Chris came back from Amsterdam and just had it with him for some reason. And it's not from Amsterdam, it's just, I think it's from Bangladesh, actually. So it was very strange, but it's a very good smelling, and I'm about to get the variety pack. Last long, thick smoke. It's just a good time. I'm not thick smoke like you're choking, but like it's just very scented. And I really enjoy that. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm not an incense or a candle person. My favorite, I go through seasons of things. So my favorite scent altogether right now is lavender. So yes. I'll get any and everything in lavender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cleaning supplies, candles, body products, lavender.
Yeah.
Last year it was rose. So we just moving through.
For candles, I'm big on eucalyptus. I like that smell a lot. So if I was to get a candle, it'd be like a eucalyptus, like mint thing going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really a candles person. I just be burning shit, to be honest. Like I bought like a shit ton of like sandalwood and frankincense when I was in Egypt. Yeah. And like I haven't burned through it yet. So like I burned that. There's also like some, like I'll buy like specifically, like, oh, this is supposed to do this for your home or whatever. Burn this. Like I'll burn that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think in general, I prefer like lighter things. Like linen smells, citrusy smells, like minty smells, as opposed to like very, very musky stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like those too.
I'm a very lighter smell daytime and musk and stuff like that for nighttime. I just transition between the two.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, now we're going to get into our summer updates and then we're going to wrap it up and get back to vacationing. Yeah. All right, so last episode we left off with Akua getting some pee-pee, I think. What's the dealio, yeah?
So it was a guy that I met through the Field app. Rebecca put me on. Shout out.
The Field app?
Yes.
Okay. I never heard that.
Explain it.
Is it specific?
It is specifically for non-monogamous people. Ooh. Yes. So like you could either sign up as a couple or you can sign up as a single person. And everyone there is just like, look, we're all non-monogamous. And then you just kind of like talk about what your ideal dynamic is. And you have photos, obviously. And that's how you match with people. Yeah. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we matched back at the end of July, but I be matching people on and connecting with people on apps and then disappearing because I don't want to really talk to y'all. but then I came back from Colombia and I drop all the people I was talking about before and I started a whole new batch. So I went back and was like, hey, you know, I kind of forgot this app existed because I did. It was on the second screen and I never swiped that far because they all should be in their own cubicles on the first screen. So realized it was there. I was like, oh, I kind of forgot about this app. And he gave me his number. We'll call him Jason, not his real name, but that's the name on the app. The app asks you to like put in imaginary names.
Yeah.
So okay.
Forgot that was not that man's name. So he gave me his number. We video chatted for an hour, talked or whatever, and kind of made these full plans to like link. He offered, it started out with him offering congratulatory head for my new job. And I was like, I'll always take head, you know? Yeah, it's much like food. I can always, I can always go for it. So I think the idea was that I was to go to his place in Brooklyn the next day. But then my son wanted to go to the park with a lady friend, a girlfriend, but not his girlfriend. Yes. And I didn't feel comfortable with him like being at a public park and me being in a whole nother borough because anything can happen and I can't get to him. So I was like, that's cool. He'll be out the house. You can come by me. So we changed the plan. I dropped him off at the park. He came by me. And it was a great experience, guys. I am happy. Like, it was a great, great experience. I felt very, very comfortable with him. I'm trying to figure this out and try to navigate it because I know, like, I need an emotional connection to be sexually aroused. But there's something, I just am very comfortable with him. I don't know that man. I don't know where he work. I don't know him. And I typically need to know you to like want to do that. But it just clicked.
Is the emotional connection there despite not knowing him?
If I never spoke to him again, I wouldn't bat an eye, which is so weird to me. But I also read on the internet that the moon's in Scorpio, and that's something about sexuality and sensuality. I'm gonna link it to that. I don't know nothing about astrology, but I'll be letting it explain everything I can't. So that's where I am. The moon's in Scorpio, and I'm feeling a little frisky. But I was thoroughly impressed with the sex that we had.
Will there be a part two?
I hope so. I would like for there to be a part two.
Nice. Okay. I'm happy for you.
Like on a scale, because I was talking to a friend about it. I was like, on a scale from 1 to 10, I give him a solid 8. And that's very hard to do.
Nice.
That's a nice number.
It's a passing grade.
It was a passing grade. I also think I broke the records for amount of orgasms in a session.
How many?
I think 7. The record was 6. And I've consistently hit 6 with every partner, or most if it's really good sex. But I legit think I lost count at some point. I kind of went delirious at some point, and I was like, I have to try to remember.
Cool. Nice. Got her back blown the fuck out.
No, I got my back blown the fuck out, y'all. And I'm happy for that, because I was fearful that I was going to have some bad sex when I re-entered the world, and I was going to take that out. Because that's what it was, but no direction needed. He understood. Condoms available. Man walked into my house and was like, just give me a moment. I just need to wash my hands. And I said, see.
You do appreciate the hygiene.
I appreciate the hygiene. Know that you cannot come off the streets and try to touch me with your hands. Yes. Please wash your hands.
Wow.
It was good. It was good.
I'm into it. I'm fucking into it.
Good it's just you. Very, it's very weird to me at the moment. I'm trying to figure out. Like, have I put, because sometimes I'll put myself in a mental space to kind of cut off that emotional connection. And I don't know if I've done that.
Is your pussy like, bitch, we got to work this out because it's been a minute.
It's been fun, but we need somebody else.
That's funny.
Getting a little stale here. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Cool. Rodecca.
Is it me? Okay.
Yeah, you've got an impending surgery.
I was about to say, yes. I'm going to give y'all a quick rundown, all right? I was dating 2 people, all right?
Oh, yeah. That happened too. We didn't talk about that on the podcast.
We talked about it, yes. I was dating 2 people, okay?
It happens. That happened to me one year. That happened to me 1 year.
Look, it be like
both
that.
Your niggas just dip out. Like, damn, son. That's crazy.
It's just me now, y'all.
Okay? It's all good. It's all good.
And it is. And the thing is, it's very interesting because I still live with my ex. So we are navigating that. And like, I have my own room now. He has his own room. And we're just like, things have been up and down. But for the most part, we're trying to make it work. And we're trying to maintain our friendship the best way that we can. And then the other person that I was dating, that yes, we know he didn't give head. He's learning, y'all. Okay.
I forgot, but okay.
Yeah, we talked about the other person. The other person, they came back and I have been talking to him again. And it's been like very much, I'm like, look, I'm not trying to We're not trying to close nothing. I'm not trying to be monogamous. I'm not trying to do none of that type of stuff. I'm still trying to do me. But, like, you can be around. There's nothing wrong with that. So he's been around. He's been very, like, fervent on learning. He's a late bloomer. So I found out there's some stuff that he didn't do for a long time. And he's willing and open to do
it. As in give head,
guys. Yes. I'm here simping for niggas that don't give head. I don't even know what's wrong with me. but, you know, ready and willing. So that's what's important to me. And that's been cool. I tried my hand at dating. I definitely went on a couple of dates, definitely was talking to a lot of people at one point in time. And then something in me kind of like snapped and I didn't want to do anything with anyone. So I was being very inconsistent with the people that I was talking to. I had someone call me on my shit and say, I don't know if you're just not interested in me anymore or you're like just not a person who's communicating well, but that doesn't work for me. So I'm going to call it quits. And I was like, damn, I've never had that because I'm very big on at least being as communicative as possible. But like, I just like kind of shut down, was like, let me focus on me. And I haven't really been on apps or doing anything like that, but I still feel really good, like, because I'm pouring back into myself. And so surgery. I am getting bariatric surgery. So it's not a decision that comes lightly, but it is something that I have considered for a while. And I'm fortunate where I have insurance right now where I do not have to pay for the surgery. So when that happened, I was like, all right, we're going to do that. And bariatric surgery, what I'm getting is a vertical sleeve gastric bypass, which is just they're going to cut my stomach from 100% to about 20% of the size that it is now. Ooh. Yeah. And it's going to be like stapled and all that good stuff. And it was very interesting because I posted that a lot of people were like, don't say anything about it. Like, don't say that you're going to get it. And I was like, why? I've never been the type of person where, like, if something's going on with me, I don't like talk about it. So I was like, yeah, I'll be vocal about it on the show. I'll be vocal about it on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But like, when I did it, like a lot of people that I know have gone through the same thing and I've gotten so much support because they've all texted or DM'd me and said, oh my God, like I just did mine last summer or I did mine, da da da. And like, that's been really great. So that's what made me make a page because it's nice to be in that community and not be alone in that. Man, I'm not eating solid food right now. We were talking about meats and I had a flashback for a second and I was like, man, I could really go to Fogo de Chao right now. But I think in another, hopefully, you know, in one of my own episodes, I'll talk about the journey from start to finish and what that's been like mentally for sure for me. Cause I can't drink. I can't do drugs. I can't do any of the things that are core tenets in my soul. So it's just really much been a very self-reflective time. And that's kind of what's going to be preoccupying a lot of my time for the next couple of months in terms of recovery and just the mental gymnastics that I have to go through to really go through with this. But I'm excited, you know, and yeah.
Nice. Yay. Also, you're taking a break from the show.
I am taking a break for a month because I'm going to probably be very miserable after I've gotten some surgery and I have to recover. So yes, just for a little while and I'll be back.
We will miss you.
We ain't let her back.
We ain't letting her back?
We ain't let her back. Bye.
So this is going to be you hosting the fucking show, Aquila, because Rob is going on deployment.
So, yeah. You're like, wait a minute, now.
Nigga, I'll leave you to host alone for a couple of episodes if that's how you really feel. You want to edit it? Funny. Yeah. Cool, man. Just know that I'm having a very nice summer and dating here and there casually and having a good time. Yeah. So it hasn't like been bad or anything like that. I'm actually really enjoying this summer. So, yeah.
Yay.
Is that an episode?
I think so.
That's an episode.
I think so.
Wow. Well, we hope you enjoyed that part two of the Ask Us Anything / update episode. Join us next week for more I Hate You, whatever the fuck kind of episode we want to give you. You will take it and you will love it. If this episode or the previous made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, or just entertained you, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. or not. I don't even know if Stitcher exists anymore, to be honest. I gotta check on that. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Innerho Uprising, CUMMUNITY, or you can head to innerhouprising.com to pay a hoe. Or you can follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram, or Becca Bounces Back _ for any weight loss or surgery information on there.
Cool.
And you guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, Twitter, hell, everywhere.
I'm Slam Red on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel posts. Have a lovely motherfucking week, because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.
Bye.